Oh,
holy
that was.
fuck, that was nice.
Whenever you guys say "hua," because I know how to translate Glaswegian, that's how you pronounce "whore." So you're calling each other whores, okay? Yeah, "hua."
That's better than "ra."
You just do the monkey noise.
That's if you're gonna do "ra," you got to get "ooh" right in there.
No, that's some fat shit. I hate that shit in movies too, when they're like "ooh rah." It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Nobody does that.
Was it
unless you're like some fucking huh?
Huh?
Was it "ooh rah, Semper Fi, live or die"? Whatever it is.
Do or die. Some fucking stupid shit.
Yeah.
So get you a hard on when you're fucking 19 years old to go die for oil and the rich.
A.K.A. Garrison about 5 years ago?
Accurate. Except I was 20. And then I thought for myself, saw what was happening overseas. Like, oh, we shouldn't be here. But I want to kill someone.
Yeah, it's funny. I was chatting with Andrew Measley the other night. He's in the, I think he's currently in the New Zealand Army. And he said, we do have javelins, apparently, in New Zealand. Do you know how many you're allowed to fire for training?
None.
0.5.
One. You can fire one, because that's our budget. Like, we have a ship with a sea ram, or a sea whiz. And I said to him, like, I take it you guys don't fire, you guys wouldn't fire that much. And he said, no, not at all, actually. It's like, you go through one belt of that, and it's like, yep, that's the budget gone.
What is the new or newer U.S. destroyer that its fucking 5-inch gun costs about the same as one fucking 18-inch shell from a battleship?
No idea.
It's some sort of smart fucking fuse time thing. Yeah.
It's like the USS Kearney or something like that, isn't it? Is that the new one or is that? No. I don't know ships.
I forget.
The USS get fucked.
It's like all these new Navy ships, these, you know, they don't even look like a ship.
No, they don't.
They're just
fucking
so
weird.
Fucking ugly.
Yep, I always hated looking at
them.
Have you seen
the British one that's got that giant, like, sort of tower in it, and it looks like a diamond? It's the most hideous thing in the world.
You want to get started?
So how are we
going? I've been recording for like 3 minutes.
So you're actually recording right now?
Yep.
It all sounds all right?
It shows that it's picking up sound, so that's good.
Might want to get rid of the Discord and the OBS.
Yeah, I was just waiting for you guys to start, or to say you was ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready, Garrison?
I'm ready.
Are you sure you're ready?
I'm ready. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Start the fucking podcast.
All right, then. Welcome to the Micro Machines podcast. This week, Clint is going to be going all through about how to design and cut out silhouette masks for masking and stuff like that. Am I right?
Yeah. I'll show you how to take, you know, either an image from online or, you know, your decal sheet and turn into paint masks.
This is actually really well timed because on the New Zealand Discord server, there is a Discord server with a lot of New Zealanders in it. If anyone's interested, I'll let them know because, you know, there's not a lot of Kiwis in the world, so. But we're literally talking about people buying vinyl cutters, silhouette cutters, all that, and looking into that. And I just went, oh, we're about to do a podcast episode with a tutorial for all of that. So, good timing. But before we get into that, we need to do some introductions. So you've got me, Callum, from New Zealand, as I just said. And I've just got a soda tonight because I am broke as fucking can't afford alcohol, so it's got a pink grapefruit soda. Low sugar because I'm also fat.
Hi, I'm Garrison from Kansas, drinking a coffee and putting together this shitty ass Arc Models fucking grill.
Cool. You got me, Clint from Indiana, and I have a nice Arnold Palmer. Half lemonade, half iced tea.
With a shot of Henny.
It is on the rocks, though.
Introducing now Clint, who's going to now start talking, and I'm going to shut up for a little bit, except for ask questions, because I have no idea what is going to be going on in this tutorial. So all the listeners will be learning at the same time I will.
Same.
Slowly.
All right, both of you can see the Silhouette Studio screen?
That we can.
All right.
Yes.
So this is Silhouette Studio. This is the free version, which they do have a paid one, but unless you're doing fancy scrapbooking stuff, you don't need it. This everything that comes in the free version is you can take your decal sheet and turn them into masks.
Also because you're cheap?
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, that's a given. There's several different brands. I think the main two is the Silhouette, and then you also got the Cricut. I'm sure a lot of this will probably be the same for Cricut. I don't know. I don't have one. I have a Silhouette Portrait 2, which I do believe there is a Gen 3 one out now. Mine has the auto blade feature, which is really nice. You don't have the program automatically sets like the cutting depth of your blade. Okay, so we have a new work area here. I use the sticky little A4 sized cutting mat that comes with the machine, and I put my vinyl on top of it. They say you don't have to use this, but your cuts come out a lot neater by using the cutting mat. One cutting mat will last you probably 25 to 30 cuts. I mean, that is a little cost in there, but they're also only like $8 or $9 per mat. So it's worth it, believe me. The vinyl that I use is Aura Mask 810, which is a transparent gray. And it is the same stuff that Montex Masks uses to make their vinyl mass. Any questions?
So you're saying there is Silhouette and Cricut.
There is two different main machines. One is the Silhouette, which is what I have, and the other one is a Cricut. Really don't know what the difference between the two is with software wise, but they both will do the same thing. I have a Silhouette Portrait 2, which I believe there is a third gen one out now. Okay, so we got a new workspace open up here. I use the cutting mat with mine, which they say to cut vinyl, you don't have to use it, but I prefer using it. It makes your cuts come out looking cleaner, and you get about 25 to 30 cuts per mat, which so there is a cost there, but again, to me, I think it's worth it.
Is that a mat on the actual cutter itself?
Yes, this thing is self-adhesive, so you it's got a little piece of clear plastic over it, you pull that off and it's sticky, and then you put your vinyl, stick it to the cutting mat, and then you feed this into the machine.
All right, so it's kind of like sort of like a laser cutter type thing, but not quite as fancy.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you now. I'm just trying to visualize what it looks like, and then I can, yeah. Okay.
Again, this is mine is a Silhouette Portrait 2. It's got the auto blade on it, which the auto blade, it just, the software will automatically set the depth of the blade cut for you, instead of you having to manually set the cutting blade, which is, that's pretty nice.
Bit of a plug and play, not too much dicking around.
Yeah, I mean, you could set everything from the studio and then just hit, send, and, the software take care of talking to the machine, so you just pretty much have to power the machine up.
That's pretty sweet.
That's my favorite kind of machinery.
I think we've already, I'm not sure if we recorded the part. It's like the Silhouette Studio. This is the free version.
Yep. Okay, got that.
Got that. All right. Before we get started, guys, got any questions?
Just one in regards to how this thing cuts. So I take it uses a blade?
Yes, it is a very, very tiny sharp blade.
And I take it when it's cutting, it's actually on a... Does it swivel round to create cuts? Because, trying to cut a curve with a standard blade is a ball ache and a half, let alone, trying to do that. Does it just, naturally swivel round by itself, or does the machine actually turn the blade to make the cut?
The blade is in a carriage. It looks, picture just like your standard laser printer. It's got the print head that moves back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And Then your other axis is its the cutting mat here. It goes back and forth as well, in and out of the machine. You know, again, kind of like a printer, except it can also reverse. And then you got your blade holder on the carriage head, and yeah, that carriage head can turn the blade 360 as well to make curves.
Oh, nice!
And you can get some pretty tiny cuts. There is one that I just did on my hind, which that's where we're going to go through, is showing you how I made the mask for the hind.
Yep, yep.
They're only 3 millimeters tall and very, very thin lines, and it still cut them. No problem.
Jesus.
So, yeah, let's open up. Now, what I do is I just take my cell phone and take a picture of the decal sheet, and then I use my micrometers to measure the size of the decal so that I can then scale it to the correct size on the cutting mat here. So, open up, and this is the decal that's on the tail of the KI-61.
Holy. All
right, now we can do over here.
Both of those done, or did you do both of those, or just the big one?
I just did this one. The aircraft that I chose, it did not have this kanji on it.
Right.
Which was good. Yes. I mean, it could trace this, but it would be a pain in the butt to try to trace that. All right, so we got different tools over here. We got move. We got edit points, which we're not going to really use. Then we got different ones like make squares, make ovals, make circles, stuff like that. You could add text. So what we're going to do here is we're going to go to draw line and then move over to the second one, which is draw polygon. And then you can zoom in on it as much as you want to make it easier. And then we can find a point, start right here, and you just start tracing over the decal.
All right. So is this like most of the manual work you have to do is just tracing it?
Yeah. It you know, really doesn't take long on, you know, something simple like this. Usually I'd be more precise, but, you know, just want to get through this quick just so, you know, to show you guys the process.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't one that's going to go on a...
You can basically make this as sharp or as soft as you want it.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I was actually going to do this, you know, put on my aircraft, I would take the time, make sure, you know, I get all these lines lined up. You can see I'm a little off-centered there.
Right.
But if for what we're doing right here, this would be just fine.
And for something like this, how long would it usually take you to do these steps?
Probably about 20 minutes to go through and do this properly.
Well, yeah. That just depends on, like, what it is you're tracing out as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And now for this right here, this has got a curve to it. Let's see, where's take the snippers here? Oh, I cut the whole thing. Shoot. Right, where is it? All right, draw a curve shape. So we'll come here. You could just set points, and it'll automatically draw a curve line that follows them points. So that's how you make that there.
Jeez, this program's more intuitive than the bloody design and survey program I use. I can't even do that on that.
Oh.
That's kind of wild, if you think about it. You're designing one-to-one fucking landscape shit, and he's making math for a scale model.
And he's got an easier bloody program to use. The program I use is, like, definitely, because there's a lot of copyright issues with stuff, certain steps are too similar to, say, a rival company, so they have to, like, go round that circumspect sort of way. So the program I use is the least user friendly in the world. It's horrible.
That sucks.
So this thing here, every side of it is a curve. And again, you know, if you take your time, you can really, you know, hug this. I'll just throw in dots down quick so, you know, this doesn't, we're not sitting here for 20 minutes.
I take it for, like, say, roundels. That tool would be used, or do you have a specific circle for that one?
Oh yeah, for roundels, we can just go here to I think there's a draw an oval or draw an ellipse, and we can make a circle with that.
All right.
Now, question for you, Clint.
Yeah.
If let's say you're making a mask,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted obviously you got to tape it down, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you tape down this mask. Can you extend the border on the outside of this?
Yeah.
To give you... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll show you guys. I'll do that here in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, won't try and jump ahead. Just curious. Didn't know if that was a thing or not.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, right. I might get me one of those.
So here's our basic shape drawn out here. I'm going to zoom out, go back here to our move, and I can move the decal sheet out of the way and just delete that, and that's left with our cutout.
Oh, nice. I like that. It looks cool.
What I do is I then take just the square making tool, go around it, and so on the vinyl, the big sheet of vinyl, it'll cut out the square and then also cut out this mass that we put inside of it. Another thing we're going to have to do really quick is each one of these pieces is going to be considered something different. So if I click on this one, you know, I try to move it somewhere else. Well, no, it's just going to move that. Drag across all of it, select all, and then group. And now this whole thing is one piece that we can move anywhere.
No shit.
And now we need to scale it, because right now this is 50.8 millimeters by 87.64, which
yeah, just a little bit big.
Yeah, which sorry guys, I jumped the gun on this. So let's back up here, ungroup all these, get rid of the square. Okay, there we go. I'm just going to group these pieces because we need to scale them first before I put a square around them. I'm sorry about that.
All good.
All right, so now this whole thing is one piece, and it is showing that it is 36.98 millimeters tall by 52.66 millimeters wide. Now, I used my micrometers, and I measured the size of the decal, and we have a width of the decal as being 27.75 millimeters. So come up here and make sure we lock the ratio, and we'll change the width to 27.75. Okay, now that's the correct size for the paint mask. Now we'll draw a square around it. Now group all these. All right, there we go.
And I take it the only way to really verify if you've scaled it correctly is to cut it and compare it?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the main thing. But after you've do them for a while, I mean, you get pretty close. Honestly, that's as long as, I mean, if you're talking, you know, like 0.2 or 0.3 millimeters, no one's really going to notice.
Surely.
There'll be that one guy.
Now, for drawing circles, I wish they had a just draw circle, but they have this draw ellipse. So it's hard to get a perfect circle, but draw circle. The round rules on the decal sheet are 22.6. So we'll just go up here, unlock the ratio, and make both of them 22.6. Boom, perfect circle.
Nice.
Again, I'll draw a square around that and group them. All right. Now for this one here, we can take this. We can make a copy of it, paste it, and now... here we go. Flip vertical. Oh, nope, I went flip horizontally. Flip horizontally, and now we got one for the other side of the tail without having to, you know, draw the other decal. We can just draw one and then mirror it.
That's freaking sweet. That way it's exact.
Yep. And then one of the other things that I showed, I was telling you guys about, is the kit didn't come with the decals for this one. But
those are the, what are those ones again? They're the wing?
Yeah, they're not kanji. Flaps? I've been told that that's not kanji. I forget what, katakan? I am so sorry. I forget what the what they're called. But yeah, these...
You're doing better than us.
These are the decals that are the trailing edge of the ring. So, same thing. I mean, they're very simple shapes. Come in, trace them out really quick.
So with this program, you can literally take a photo of anything, and as long as you can scale it right, you can make a mask for it.
Yes. And then grab this line here, and we can pull it in to make that curve. And same way with this one, you can pull it out. Don't need that anymore. Again, that's not the best, but so you could sit here and tweak this to get it the correct correct size that you want it. So, my measurements are showing that this is 2.9 millimeters tall, and right now we're at 22.07. So, we'll just come up here, lock ratio. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll just put the height as 3 millimeters. Boom. And it will cut that.
Jesus.
I thought it was going to have a hard time doing it, so I tried it, and it cut him out perfectly.
Yeah, that's impressive. So say, so with this, what's it called, Silhouette?
Silhouette Studio.
So can you, are you able to like access it without owning the cutter itself, or is it like a package thing?
I believe you can download it without, because it's a free download online.
Okay, so theoretically, like if you have a friend, say, who has a cutter, you can design your own sort of cutouts and then just send him the file.
Exactly.
And is that the same for, say, if you had used Silhouette and Cricut? Like, say, if you use Silhouette and you have a friend who's got Cricut, do they just use the same file format, or? Right, is there any interchangeability between those, or not really?
Yes. Or you can save as the hard drive. Yes, you could save it as a GSP file, and any plotting program should be able to read it.
Right. Okay.
But then, of course, you got the V2 Studio and V3 Studio. It can only be read by Silhouette Studio.
Right. Okay. So theoretically, I can download this program. I can design my own masks, and then I could send it to you, and then you can send me perfectly cut masks.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you anything you design, it's like you could send me the file. I could cut them and then send you the finished mask to you.
Noted.
That's freaking.
I have
awesome.
A lot of ideas now. Suddenly, I will say, the minute you have that sort of knowledge, the amount of flexibility with models suddenly just becomes a lot more. Like suddenly, it's like, oh, haven't got this sort of decal for this vehicle, or I haven't got. Yeah, I need to find this decal sheet for that, or so, or you're limited to whatever's in, you know, the box or something like that. But suddenly it's like, oh, well, I've got multiple photos of this one, and I can scale it properly.
Yeah.
Dude, imagine the possibilities with making like HIDF units for like insignias for vehicles and art and shit.
Oh, definitely. Well,
I'm thinking even just like slogans. God. You know, using different fonts for slogans on the side of things. Holy. Yeah. I'm suddenly I'm getting like a lot of ideas now, and that's not a good thing for me, because
another thing is that I just keep around is open here is stuff like this, and then, you know, I just, so I don't have to trace this every time, I can just open this up, figure out what the size is on the decal sheet, and scale this, and boom, already got one of these United States Air Force stars ready to go.
That's freaking sweet.
And I got several different ones ready to go. Here's one with the bar. You know, I took time to make sure, you know, I got this one nice and crisp. So it just saves a little time.
Because like once you've done it once, then it can be used for any other specific aircraft or anything like that.
Oh, definitely. And I got several different ones. Also got call numbers here from the different styles we used. Like ones that was used by Lockheed. North American, North Republic, Bell. This is one of the Lockheed ones. They've all been nicely traced out. And what I can do is I can take, and you can ungroup these. You can cut these, and you can just take this one, and then you can, you know, make your own number sequence and then cut them out from there.
I really like how flexible this program is.
Oh, yeah. Like, just the fact that nowadays, you know, instead of, say, having to try and freehand insignias or, you know, like if you see an aircraft or a tank that's got specific markings on it, you don't have to try and freehand it or anything like that. You literally just take a photo and trace it and scale it right, and you have it in, like, perfect.
Oh, yeah. This is the one that I made for my Hein. These are all the ones I made up. Also did the 66, which was the aircraft number that's on the landing gear doors.
Kind of interesting they do their identification there on the landing gear.
Yeah. Of course, this wasn't from the kit. This is ones that, you know, I just made a simple six, you know, looking at pictures of the aircraft that I was depicting, and then scaled them to the same size, which was the number 24 on the aircraft that I was using to make them the same height. But once you get everything, you know, set up and you're ready to cut, then you just click over here, send, and my Portrait 3, it gets hooked up to via Bluetooth, and I said it's got the Autoblade on it. The material I use is a Silhouette Oracle 651. I'm actually using Oracle 810, but the 651 profile works. It works better, in my opinion. It cuts just a little bit harder. And it also could be because my blade is a little bit duller.
How much does a blade usually cost?
$12.
I mean, what's your excuse then?
I got an extra one. It's just I'm too lazy. But yeah, once you get here, right now it says unavailable. You know, once you hook it up, it'll say connected. Then you just hit send, and it will cut all this out. And this took less than 3 minutes to cut out.
Damn,
that's pretty good. Like, you can get stencils out pretty quick then.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's pretty much it. You guys got any questions?
How much do one of these set you back?
I got mine on Amazon for... I've had this now for going on like 3 years. I think I paid right around $100 for it.
That's less than I thought it would be. I think someone on their New Zealand Discord said that he found one for about $200 here, which is about, roughly the same price. So, like, I was expecting them to be way more pricey than that.
Oh yeah, it's not very bad. I say the Cricut machines is like they got like really small ones, and they're like $100 and some. I think you can actually get some of them for less than $100. And then they got
I remember Michael sold them for like $60.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But
just wonder how good those ones would be.
They're just small. They're like Cricut brand and shit. They're just really small. So, I mean, for this type of stuff, just from what Clint's shown, I think they'd work out really good.
Yeah, you just have to cut your vinyl down a lot more, which, I know, Aura Mask, some people say it's hard to find. I get it from a place online called The Vinyl Shop. Last time I bought it, I think it was 20 yards at like $6 a yard. It's going to last me probably forever.
Just did a giant bulk order.
Oh yeah, and it maybe wasn't even that much. I know it was like the more you bought, the cheaper it was.
Yeah. So, and that's vinyl. What about paper? Would it work on paper, or is it like not as good?
You can cut paper, but there's also a whole bunch of other stuff with paper. I've seen people take like Tamiya sells the Kabuki tape like in big sheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, you can use that. You might be able just to take the yellow frog tape and tape it down and cut that with this. I've never tried it, but it would be feasible, I would think.
Okay. So how often on your models now do you actually design your own decals for them?
I try to every one now, just because a painted on marking looks so much better.
Yeah. So stuff like, say, for German armor, just be like simple iron crosses and stuff like that. So it's...
Oh yeah, that's very easy to cut out.
Yeah, I mean, marking, like a lot of vehicle markings aren't too, intricate, because, hey, guess what, in real life they had to paint that shit as well, and they don't like intricate stuff even on a large scale, even on a large aircraft.
Oh yeah.
And also, you want them simple, because you don't have a lot of time to see them.
I've got several, different ones. I mean, these are made for aircraft, but the ones I was on armor is about the same.
Yeah, so you might get inundated with a few files from me then, once I figure out how to use that program.
That's fine with me.
What a gentleman and a scholar.
So I could put them in an envelope, and I think an international stamp is like $1.75 or something like that.
And then I'll just have to try and trust New Zealand Postal Service to actually deliver it.
Yeah, it'll probably take 2 months.
more than that.
After it arrives in country.
I mean, that, like, I think Nick Scalamra, he sent me over some of his stickers.
Uh-huh.
And he said he sent them, and then it was months and months, and he's going, have they actually turned up? And I said that they haven't. And he sent over a an Airfix RAF personnel kit that he didn't want. So he included stickers in that. And it was about 3 months later, the first stickers that he sent me turned up at work. And I was like, I said to him, I was like, you wouldn't believe it. They've just turned up now. And it was like 5 months.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, it's like, I was sitting there, I was like, I think they've gotten lost or something. That was ridiculous. Fuck. Yeah, you never know. They might show up, I don't know, in a year or so.
Yeah.
If I start planning now, I might have it done by 2025. But no, that's definitely something that, you know, once my financial situation is a little bit better than it is now, it's definitely something I want to have a look into, because I've got the 3D printer, which I need to use a bit more. But I'm still trying to figure out settings on that. I did print off two fairly decent 350 scale Sherman Zippos.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still working on trying to figure all of that stuff out and trying to get it to work properly. But yeah, then having a vinyl cutter, just, it gives you more freedom.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you're not just holding to, you know, what decals you have on hand or what come with the kit or what you could buy. You see, you know, something online, and you know, especially like a color profile online, you pull up like one that was like in a squadron book or something, and you know, you could take a picture, you know, of the page in the book, you know, put it on your computer, and then you know, trace it and scale it, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, or even like say camouflage markings, you know, yes. Camouflage schemes, you know, draw them, you can trace them out, and yeah, those things would be very invaluable.
Oh, definitely. Especially on something that's got, has like a Miranda pattern, or like a very tight model or something.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Because trying to mask that kind of stuff up by yourself it's a right pain in the nuts. I've tried it. And, well, it's like, you know, that French fighter I built, the MS-406, when mm-hmm. it's got it's the real intricate three-toned. I ended up paintbrushing that one just because I'm sitting there, I don't know how to mask this up with tape and all that for the different colors. Whereas chances are, if I had one of those, yeah, their camouflage schemes are very tight and intricate. Mm-hmm. But if I had one of those and then just print out, you know, top of the wings and either side of the fuselage, and then just lay those down and then just pull the ones you want off and all of that. That would just...
Oh, yeah. Make it a lot easier.
I think...
Look a lot better than what it does now.
You gotta think about it, too. Like, masking stuff like this, it's gonna look way better, the finished product being sprayed on, than a fucking decal.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Like, how many times do you get, like, a paint job done so well, and then right at the end you put a decal on and it doesn't adhere properly, or it silvers, or you can see the edges on it, or you know, it doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. You know, or it doesn't fit right, so it's like near on a corner or on a ridge, and it just like lifts itself. It destroys it.
Oh yeah.
Like I've had that multiple times. You look at it, it's like, it was so nice, and now it just looks like shit.
Then you got some decal companies, like Tamiya's, like probably the biggest offender of it. Their decals are so thick. It's like no matter what, it's like they silver.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I was trying to put their decals on the B-25s for the Hornet, and the decals themselves were off center from the film, which is also annoying. But yeah, they would not, like, they were thick enough that they would not stick down properly. Because the fuselage is slightly rounded and they got raised lines. So it doesn't matter how much decal setter and fixer and all of that I put in, it just wouldn't soak down into it. So that's one, yeah. That was one thing that annoyed the fuck out of me. Because if I pressed down too hard, then the decal would just lift away with the cotton bud.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. I'm sure my neighbors heard me through the wall on that one.
Damn it, what the fuck?
Yeah, pretty much, or a lot of that. They probably thought I was abusing someone online or something.
Probably. Another paint job that I want to try using mass that I cut is one of the German ambush pattern ones. That's pretty much, you know, they took a coffee can and they sprayed around it to get these, you know, perfect like half circles and stuff.
Yeah. Disc camo.
Yeah. I want to use this to try to make them patterns for that.
Oh yeah, that'll look cool.
Crafting company, bro.
I mean, for that, you could probably buy. What I was thinking for doing something like that is just buying a sticker sheet of dots.
Oh yeah.
You know, from any craft store and using those, but hell, masking like that would also work really well and cheap.
Yeah, I mean, both of them. Hell yeah. I guess that's a simple solution right there. I had a complicated answer for it.
There's still a lot you can do. So, you know the ambush scheme where you got like they got like the color stripes and then you got the dots in them.
Yeah,
I mean you could probably get like fairly. You could just make random dot patterns within that scheme, and that would probably work as well.
Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't. So many ideas now. Another thing you can do with this too is like take a cardstock. You can cut cardstock with this. It dulls your blades a lot faster, but you can make like splatter stencils, and you know that's something you can like hold up for doing like.
I know what you're talking about. Yep, I've got those. Not in cardstock. I've got photo etch ones, but yeah, I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean you can make them out of cardstock with this.
Oh, nice.
And I've never tried it, but some people said you can also cut really thin styrene with it. I guess some ship modelers use it to cut out small pieces for ships out of really thin styrene. But
you definitely want to make sure that styrene is like well stuck down though for that.
Oh, definitely. Guys got any questions for me?
No. I think you covered it pretty damn well.
Oh, I don't think I did, but thanks. I think it's been kind of a train wreck.
Because you can literally make anything with this. I'm thinking, okay, mask for canopies, and I guess that would be a little more difficult, though, huh?
Well, that would be trying to get a 3D onto a 2D plane.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard to do in a way, but say you bought an Edward set of canopy masks, but you got like two or three of the same aircraft, you could take a picture of the mask, take the dimensions of the ones already there, trace the ones that are already there, and then boom, you got a copy of the Edward, except instead of kabuki tape, it's going to be in vinyl. Or you could also cut it out in kabuki tape too, I guess.
Yeah, that would work.
Now, I wouldn't advise going and selling that because that would be, you know, a form of theft.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But for your own personal use.
Yeah. What they don't know won't hurt them.
Yeah. And it's like, now me, I'm lazy. I would just buy two and, you know, call it a day. Now, some of the newer Tamiya kits, it's like this Hine, it came with canopy masks, but they wasn't pre-cut. He was just had the outline of where to cut.
I mean, I guess I think that's their workaround, cutting costs, but also supplying something.
Which, believe me, it's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And they worked out very well. The Lightning that I did, it also had the canopy masks, which is very nice. But other than that, I usually don't mess around with buying canopy masks unless it's like a bomber or something with a ton of glass. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to sit there and cut out each individual pane. I'll just give me an Edward mask.
All right. Well, that was a good little tutorial. I think we'll jump into an intermission, and we'll finish off the rest of the episode. So we'll be right back. And we are back with the hobby news. And I think there are some fairly decent new kits that are coming out this week. I already know what's in them, but one of them I am particularly excited for and really want to get my hands on. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
First off, from IBG, something a little bit different. In 72nd scale, we have a Luftwaffe starter cart and transport crate for an engine, specifically the Jumo 213, which is included in the kit. The Jumo 123 is the it's the engine used by the Focke-Wulf 190, I want to say it's the D9, the Dora 9.
which is the elongated one, elongated nose one. And just something to add to your diorama, basically. I think it would be kind of cool to have a an airfield diorama of something a bit different from IBG. They've been putting out some cool stuff lately, so it's good to see it.
Good on you, IBG.
Definitely get one of these.
Oh yeah, like I really want to build another Dora 9. I think the Dora Focal Wolves are the best looking.
Oh, they are. They are just beautiful.
Yeah, not the TA 152s. They look ugly because you know with the
long wings and everything.
Long wings and all that. No, they don't look good. But the Dora 9 Focal Wolves, they're the best looking.
Oh yeah.
Up next Landmo Models, we have a BA-64B light armored car from the Soviets. And this is in 35th scale as part of their 31 to 45 series. So the BA-64B is a very small light car used by the Soviets. It has a DT machine gun and a rotating turret. And is crewed by two men. And it's just such a cool little vehicle. So this one's got slogans all around it. It's got a really interesting way to get in and out, that little doorway on the side there. So,
have you seen the CAD rendering pictures of this?
No.
It looks fucking sweet.
Does it? Has it got full interior?
Full interior.
Oof. And actually, like, because I think it is an open-topped turret on the, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no. Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Sweet. Because Landmo, they've just been doing a lot of like aftermarket type stuff. You know, the like the Sherman Dozer turret and Crab Flail.
Mm.
That's two that I know offhand. So this is the first time I think I've seen them do a full kit.
This looks like a bastard 222.
It kind of is. It's a bit like the BA-10 light-armored car, but the BA-10 is longer.
To be fair, this was made before the 222, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, okay, I don't know, Soviet stuff.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Jeep that's been retrofitted with armor, in a way.
yeah.
But they look so cool, so this is definitely one that I want to get.
Okay, cunts, make this work.
There it is. So from Hobby Boss in 72nd scale, we're getting a new TBM-3 Avenger. Something very cool to look out for, because Avengers are cool.
Is this a new mold, or is it is it just a Reebok accurate miniatures?
From what I can tell, it's a brand new tooling, but you never know. Sometimes they say new tooling, but it's actually, you know, the kit, the previous company. They just had, you know, they just updated the tooling sort of thing, so you never know. From Vespid Models in 72nd scale, we are getting the Panther KF-51, the sort of futuristic German main battle tank that they announced a few years ago.
Yes.
Been around for a while, but it's got that really cool, it's not a drone, it's a missile, isn't it? Sort of thing. But, yeah. Cool-looking tank, very futuristic. And 72nd scale, they have the Vespid model 72nd scales are, of course, very, very good. So if you're into that scale, one to look out for. This is the one that I really, really want from Vespid Models. They've released a 35th scale tank. This is the Cruiser Tank Mark 8 Challenger
A30. No, Cal, that's the fucking comet on from Wish.
So this is the late production Challenger. It is actually what it is they tried to turn the Cromwell. This is not a comet. This is based on the Cromwell into a tank destroyer with the 17-pounder. Of course, the Cromwell was only ever armed with the 75 QF. Gun, and whereas the Challenger was trying to use that chassis and put a 17-pounder in it, which they did, and it's a cool looking tank. I really, really want one. Yeah,
Driver's looking out the hatch like, you what, mate?
Hey, you say what, cunt? What about me tea?
I will say the British markings with the Hussar on the right there does look go pretty hard.
Yes.
From ICM, we are getting a figure kit. This is the tank crew of the Armed Forces of Ukraine. And they promise 100% new molds. And this is part of their Ukrainian war set. And I think there's going to be a lot of call for this one. I know someone in the podcast will want them.
I'm going to wait until somebody recasts them into resin.
I don't know, man. They look Russian to me.
But guarantee this is going to sell pretty well.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
And from Amusing Hobbies, we're getting the Black Eagle, also known as the Object 640, which is... I don't know too much about these sort of modernist Soviet tanks, but it looks fairly cool, and apparently it's got a very big gun. I think it's got a 130 or a 152, something like that. But, yeah. If anyone knows what they are, meh.
I bet it would blow up just as easily.
Probably. I bet that turret comes off real easy.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And lastly, from Kinetic, this isn't a new kit, but it's a new decal set, and the only reason I'll do a new decal set announcement is if it's really cool. And this one is. This is for their 1-48 scale F-16, is it the D that's the two-seater? And it is in the color scheme of the Thunderbirds. So, something that I'm sure a lot of people would want, because, it's a cool-looking scheme. Well, that is all for hobby news this week. Now we're going to move on to the whips.
All right, I've got three slides. We'll run through these real quick. Current work in progress is piece of shit fucking ARC models. Sorry excuse of a model kit called the Grill. Cool vehicle, but the kit itself sucks balls.
Is that because nothing fits together?
Nothing fits together. The instructions are not clear at all. Like, it shows, like, the parts you need, but, like, half the time it doesn't show you exactly where the parts go. And there's only that picture of the front of the vehicle, so it's like, okay, well, what the fuck? So, yeah, it's fun. I'm having a good time. This is helping with my depression. finished up my little Tarwa series, or Pacific series. This is a Stuart stuck on Macon Island, two U.S. Army soldiers walking by, kind of just looking at the Stuart tank submerged in a blast crater. It was a quick little build. It was fun.
You got through this one so quick.
Oh, dude, it was very easy to do. Like, honestly, there wasn't much to it. Like, 2.5 figures, the Stuart tank, which is a Tamiya kit, so it went together quick, and then it was easy. I mean, it was a simple paint job, and the weathering was pretty easy.
I still think it would look better in the toy soldier green.
It definitely would have.
This is where our opinions will vary, gentlemen. And then here's just a couple pictures of the infantrymen I did. These are probably my favorite U.S. infantrymen I've ever painted up. I think they came out really fucking good. I'm definitely happy with how, like, the base uniform turned out. I figured out how to do... Because I remember watching all these YouTube videos showing, like, how to figure paint. And they're talking, like, oh, you gotta do, like, 6 fucking steps for glazing. And it's like, bro, I don't want to do that. You know? And then I've figured it out. To get some nice light highlights on the uniforms, you just do one, like, medium glaze with the base color, and that's it. Like, that's, then you just paint the rest of it the same way after you prime it white, and it brings out some highlights. So when, that way you don't have to go in and individually brush mark all the shit, and I just, I don't know, I fuck with it.
They look pretty damn good, I gotta say.
Yeah, the results are excellent.
All right. We have a Pacific Group build going on until September 1st. Come throw in a rec or a competition submission. Got one prize for the competition section. Only one person can win it. It's a pretty good prize. If you're curious to what it is, join the Discord, find out, read the rules, and submit. Then we got a sci-fi group build. This one is just for fun. No awards, none of that. This is purely just for recreation. So just come on, show what you can do sci-fi related, and see what else everyone else is doing.
And once you've finished listening to us, go check out all the other podcasts. Listers on screen now, but some of them, Built Sideways, On the Bench, Scale Model Podcast, Just Making Conversation, all of them, guys, go check them all out. Go to scalemodels.com, scalemodelpodcast.com, you should find them all there. And, of course, a big shout-out to our Patreons. Paul Gallagher, Lord Floki, Robert Judson, Robert Brisbane, and a big hello to our new Pinju follower, Brielle Oh, God. Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone good at pronunciation?
I'm just going to be respectful and not butcher your name, but thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Brielle Mastroni, whatever. Sorry about that. Close enough. Big
Did
thanks
you say
for joining.
Macaroni?
Big thanks to all our patrons for supporting us at this time. Well,
we are in dire need of your financial compensation.
Well, do we have anything else from either of you two before we close out? Just a quick, short little episode this time, but don't mind.
Keep modeling.
Yeah, that works. Well, if you've
Fuck
made
bitches,
it...
get money, build models, save pandas.
Wise words. So, if you are still with us, you have been watching and listening to the Micro Machines podcast. On behalf of all the guys, we say thank you, and we will catch you in the next episode.
Hooah. See ya.